So welcome to the podcast, Patients and Patient Organizations in Ear and Guard Heart on Air. My name is Diane Zwaagman, and I am Guard Heart Social Media Manager and your today's host. We'll be talking about on how the patient representatives involved in the network board, and to do so, we have invited two very special guests who have been involved as patient representatives in this network. Well, Simone, Louise, and Jerker Liljestrand, welcome today and thanks for joining us. Well, let's get started. Simone, the first question is for you. And can you tell us who you are and which condition or group of conditions are we talking about if the listeners want to get to know you?
Okay, so my name is Simone Luise, as they had already said. I was born with a congenital heart disease, tetralogy of Fallot, and that's also the group of diseases that I represent in the network. And that's also how I got involved in the Netherlands patient organization.
Thank you. And Simone, can you tell us also, since when did you became the patient representative in the network?
Yes.
And what were your main personal reasons to do so?
Yes, so I started in the network in 2018, even though congenital heart diseases were not part of the network at that time, but we were lucky to be able to join anyway. The reasons for me were that I really wanted to see if I could do more with my biological background, and also to see how I can support my own disease, but also the other diseases in the congenital heart disease group in the Netherlands, but also in Europe, to be helping them to move the healthcare forward and have them have the best possible care, and including mental care.
Oh, thank you. And Jerker, if I and the podcast listeners want to get to know you, can you tell us who you are and which condition or group of conditions are we talking about if the listeners want to get to know you?
Thank you. Certainly. Thanks for inviting me. So my condition is called hypertrophic cardiomyopathia. So it represents that disease and the broader group of cardiomyopathies, meaning diseases of the heart muscle. And the one I have is a hereditary heart disease and the most common hereditary heart disease in the world. I was diagnosed with that around 50 years of age, and now I am 75. So I've had it for 25 years. And there's a very rapid development. When I got it 25 years ago, the diagnosis was actually not made the specific one. I was found to have a thickening of my heart muscle, and only about 10 years later, somebody decided to do a gene test that had become available, and I was positive. I have a mutation, and from then on, I could map out my family and bigger clan. And then it turned out that as we explore this, there were two of my cousins that had died. I have only three cousins on my mother's side, and two of them had died from the disease, which I only became aware of 10 years after I was diagnosed myself. And then, unfortunately, in spite of being diagnosed in time and monitored by cardiac specialists, one of my very close relatives had a cardiac arrest a couple of years ago and acquired brain damage and had to eventually leave her husband and three teenage boys. And this is a very big tragedy for me personally. So I want to try to help improve the healthcare system of my country, which is Sweden. The healthcare system is very fragmented for this condition, in spite of all the learning in the recent years. And also then on the health, apart from the health system side, I also want to help increase the awareness in the general population or people who have heart disease in the family of how they can be tested and diagnosed and what kind of care they should ask for. I'll stop there for now. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Jerker. That's already the next question for you. You already have shared with us. Could you also tell us about your role in the network and how are you helping this ERN? This question is for Jerker.
Yeah, so I happen to be a medical doctor myself, albeit in another specialty, but I have worked for 25 years in public health and 20 years in international public health, mainly in low-income countries. So I kind of have a leg in both camps, both on the health system side and the public health family layman side, let's say. I have been, our organization, our patient organization was founded only a year and a half ago. And having this medical background or public health background that I have, a lot of medical issues land on my table that I talk with the cardiologists in Sweden, which comes natural to me, and follow up on together with our chairperson, we together follow up on the medical issues, what's happening in diagnosis and treatment and genetical diagnosis and mutations and all that kind of stuff. So I work a lot on the website. I don't mind going to meetings with lay people or with health people and speak of what we have and what we could do better. So that's me and what I do in our organization. I'm the vice chairperson currently.
Thank you. It's very beautiful to hear. And Simone, the next question is for you. You are a patient representative in the network. I understand that you have been also involved in a registered national patient organization within your own country. And can you tell us why this is important for the network as well as for your own community?
Yes, sure. Thank you so much. So I am part of a small Dutch organization foundation that is called Heart for Research, Heart for Onderzoek, that is specifically focusing on adults with congenital heart diseases, where we think there is a gap in activities and a gap in organizations in the Netherlands. I'm the treasurer of the organization since 2022. And I think it's very important to have the inputs from the patient organization in the ERN network, because it will help the ERN network to know what is important for us and how we, what kind of elements we are suffering from, like mental health or other issues, of course. But it's also important for the organization and the people linked to the organization to be part of the network, because it will help us all in the Netherlands to understand what is happening in Europe and how where we can take advantage of, and what activities the ERN is performing that we can help us forward and that we can take advantage of.
Oh, great. And the next question is also for you, Simone, because since you or your patient organization is involved in this network, have you seen some results lately? And can you share a good example with us, maybe?
Well, I can try. So it has been a little bit of a struggle from the beginning. How the collaboration with the patient organizations or the EPACs and the ERN was happening. We really have worked hard to find our way. And last year we had a face-to-face meeting with the thematic area leads, which really helped us a lot. So since then, I think things have been improving. And I think that now, since the congenital heart diseases are also officially part of the ERN, we have a good collaboration with the two thematic area leads who are in the Netherlands, where I'm based as well. So that helps. And we've had our first kickoff meeting last year. We are planning to do to work on the patient journeys. So there are things in motion. And I think what we have been able to do in the last year is to really show the ERN board and the ERN network that we are of value and that we can really help and that we can make a difference when we collaborate and when we work together in the network as best as we can.
And Simone, what are the main barriers that you have found and how are you dealing with them?
So I think one of the main barriers that we have in our specific ERN Guard Heart network is that if you look at guidelines, so a lot of the ERNs are working on guidelines with their EPACs together, but for us, the guidelines are all done by the ESC, and we are not involved as patients. So that is a big barrier for us. And another barrier is that we have the thematic areas in the ERN, and we are trying to work together with the thematic area leads in a sort of structured way, but they are not having regular meetings as thematic areas, and therefore it's very difficult for us to participate in those thematic area in those thematic areas and really be involved in the discussions and the topics that are discussed there, because it's all very via email, via loose contacts, and there is no formal structure for the thematic areas, which is of course making it difficult for us as EPACs to participate.
Yes, I understand. And Jerker, the next question is for you. If you have any, can you share any tips for others who would like to involve in GuardHeart and become an EPAC? And what would you also recommend them to start with?
Well, I will be honest and say that since we are so new as a patient organization in Sweden, we and very new, even newer, just a couple of months in ERN GuardHeart. So I can't say that I really know my way in ERN GuardHeart, but what I would propose at this time is to see what are the specific things that we have done that we could share, and vice versa, what we would like to learn from other national organizations. That's where we have reached to at this time. You know, we have spent a lot of time on our website, and we're trying to increase our visibility through webinars that we turn into a library, section by section, webinar by webinar, we add on and so on. We are talking to the healthcare authorities and the cardiologists in the country. Those are the approaches we are doing. And we actually, even though we are so new, we actually just got a prize for being the best upstart patient organization in the country, even though we have very few and are almost doing this all on a shoestring, almost no budget. So I think it's too early for us to say what we can do for ERN GuardHeart and what they can do for us. But these are some suggestions from where we are right now.
Well, thank you. If you can share your thoughts on an ideal collaboration between the board and the EPAC groups, what would that look like?
The best collaboration with the ERN board, and also with the ERN board members, obviously, would be to really define a few topics that are really common for the thematic areas, since there should be probably a few, and to really see with the board how we can move them forward. And also, I still think that there is room for improvement for us to connect with the board members and with the clinicians in the different areas, because when we are in the board meeting as chairs, there is a little bit of time to connect, but it's quite limited. And I think therefore it would be also, as I said earlier, it would be really good if there could be some kind of structure for the thematic areas, and there could be some kind of collaboration model to move forward together. And maybe it would be a combination of a few thematic areas, but I think that's something that would be really helpful.
Thank you. Well, now we have some informal questions to both of you, and I think we start with Jerker. Do you have a job, or did you had a job, and what can you tell us about it?
So I'm retired since 5 years. And my job. I was a medical doctor, and I worked in maternal health care and reproductive, sexual and reproductive health and rights for all my life. I was an obstetrician, gynecologist, and then I turned public health, and I've been working on maternal health, especially in poor countries.
Okay, and Jurgen, if you have any, do you have hobbies, and what would you like to share with our listeners?
Well, I think perhaps the most relevant is that I like to do, to use my body to the extent I can. And that seems to be very important for the condition I have, that it's so easy to use your disease as an alibi or a justification for not exercising. I have really tried to turn this disease that I have been given to try to keep my body as in good shape as possible, to stick to my weight, and to, you know, these days I cannot run or anything, but I still use an electric bike, and I walk as much as I can, and I even can do some skiing and skating, but that's about what I can do. I cannot run since many years, and I get short of breath and all those things, but I really try to, you know, keep my diet and my lipids okay and all that, and try to act in my association. Our first webinar is actually about sports and exercise for people with HCM. How can you live with HCM and still exercise enough for your body so you don't become grossly overweight and get diabetes and high blood pressure on top of this heart disease? So I think that's the most relevant experience that I have, that how I have tried to turn this very sad disease to something reasonably positive, something I can use for myself.
It sounds very, very powerful, Jurgen. Simona, I have the same questions for you. Do you have a job, and what can you tell the listeners about it?
Yes, of course. So I do have a job. I studied biology, but I am now working in a marketing research company for many, many years. Currently as a team lead, but I've done some project management there as well. And I think that's also helping me in my current patient representative role to a certain extent. In principle, my job there has nothing to do with patients or doctors or hospitals, but I've always liked doing it. I sort of rolled into it, and I never got out. But that's why I wanted to become a patient representative, as I said earlier, to also look at that part of my life and my interest. And if you look at my hobbies and what I like to do, well, like Jurgen, I do need to try and keep moving. So I do like to walk as well. So if I have the opportunity in the evenings or in the early end of the day, I do like to try and at least walk for half an hour every day. And I do like to swim. So in the summertime, when the outdoor season is there, I swim a lot. And I also like very much to cook and to eat, which is difficult when you are at risk of getting overweight. But we're trying to at least cook as healthy as possible and eat as healthy as possible. But yeah, I still do very much like to cook as well.
Well, thank you to the both of you. That's all for today's episode. And a big thank you to Simone and George for joining us today and for sharing their experiences with us. Thank you, nurses. And until next time, bye.